Coast Guard is the fastest, easiest, most economical way to dramatically increase any information entrepreneur's sales or profits without spending any more money on marketing, promotion, or advertising. Because it costs less to send, it can be in full color, and the message is very brief, and it arrives naked without an envelope. There's no envelope to open. I've had people purchase my Market with Postcards course who were mail carriers, you know, mailmen.
Really?
It's the most amazing story. They read a solicitation. There was no envelope covering the message, and I had him, he called from my, from his cell phone, and he says, I'm on my carrier route. I'm about to deliver this postcard, and I'm interested in starting a home business. I'm interested in your course. Can you tell me more about it? And I said, before I do, I want a testimonial from you, because this is amazing that this is happening right now. So if that's not testimony to a postcard and the power of it, I don't know what is. Yeah, 7 years ago, I wrote a headline on the face of a postcard that made a whitening toothpaste in America the number one whitening toothpaste sold in day spas and salons.
Okay.
And most people have never heard of it because unless you go to a day spa or salon, you probably haven't seen it. Some dentists sell it, and it's definitely, there's a website for it as well.
Right.
But the name of the product is Super Smile. It's still out there. I don't work with the company anymore, but they're on Madison Avenue, and I worked with them for 8 years. And one postcard that I wrote that was a 6-inch by 9-inch postcard sent to day spas in the U.S. created a runaway hit success for this product. And should I share the headline with you?
Please, yeah.
Okay. This headline came about when I was taking a shower, and it just hit me like all great headlines come, right? If you're walking your dog or you're playing with your kids, a headline will hit you, you know, from your subconscious, and you have to write it down. Well, the problem in day spas is that they have products for skin, for their eyes, for the hair, for the toes, for the fingernails, everything, body wraps. But what good is perfect skin and perfect hair if you don't have a perfect smile? That's the headline. And it was embraced because it filled a hole that had been overlooked by every other marketer and oral care manufacturer worldwide. So we tackled the niche just the way I tackled the postcard niche as a marketing area. And we went after the day spas where, you know, Crest and Colgate don't care about those people. There's only like 2,500 of them in the country.
Right.
I'm talking U.S. alone right now.
Okay.
And so we found that these people pay by credit card, so we don't have to keep terms with them, you know, 30 days or 60-day billing. We didn't have to do that. And they had the power of touch because they do massages and they have estheticians who actually help sell the product and they recommend it. So with the world's most expensive whitening toothpaste, which it was, it's about $16, what's an extra $16 to put in the bag for a woman who's spending about $200 in a visit?
Right.
So we found the target market. We found the medium, a postcard. Because it's a postcard, we could have full-color black before and after pictures. We had a beautiful product shot. And on the flip side, all it was in bold-faced print was the headline, "What good is perfect skin and perfect hair if you don't have a perfect smile?" The response was to call in and get a free sample of the product.
Okay.
That was the call to action.
Right.
Now, ever since then, I've helped a e-business triple its click-through rates. There was a software company that was specializing in search engine optimization.
Okay.
And they dedicated all of their marketing dollars toward banner advertising and affiliate programs and e-zines, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And after about 16 months of doing this, they found that their click-through rate fell about 48%. And it really was disturbing because their opt-in database, you know, the opt-in people were, they were defecting by about 10% per month, okay? So the action we took to boost traffic was we mailed out a couple thousand full-color personalized postcards, and we lured prospects into a password-protected web page to download a 168-page PDF special report, much like my campaign cost them less than $1,000.
Right.
It went to their own opt-in database, so they weren't strangers, they were existing customers.
Okay.
And the click-through rates of that campaign helped increase the click-through rates for all the other campaigns that followed by 328% within 9 days of the mailing.
Well,
now, the CEO was skeptical because he never did snail mail.
Okay.
But he found that postcards made him look real instead of just virtual to his customers.
Okay.
And that's how we tripled click-through rates just using ordinary postcards with the search engine optimizer. I tell this story when I lecture. There's probably no one busier than Bill Gates of Microsoft. Is that fair to assume? I mean, he's the richest man in the world, and there's probably no one who wants more attention from him than all the other CEOs and people around the world than Bill Gates. Everyone wants Bill Gates' attention, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's play a little game in our minds. What if your life depended on Bill Gates coming to your website and clicking a button that was just there? Okay?
Okay.
Could be any button, but your life depended on it. In fact, someone was holding a gun to your head and said, you have only one chance to get Bill Gates or someone from his office to click this link on your website. And you only get one chance. It's up to you on how to do it, but how are you going to do it? Okay, so let's say you have your hands tied. Let's say you have your mouth is covered and someone is holding a gun to your head and you only have one sobering chance to get Bill Gates' attention. And you know he's the busiest man in the world. What are you going to do? Do you send him an email? Do you run the risk of being one of 3,300 that he gets every single day, and all of them are deleted with the single push of a delete key, and it ends up in cyberspace to disappear forever? I mean, would you send him an email and run the risk of losing your life because he didn't understand your subject line, or, you were just part of the whole clutter that he gets? You know, his assistant reads all his emails. Probably he has 5-6 assistants, right? So you wouldn't send him an email if your life depended on it. So that option's out.
Okay.
How about snail mail? Would you send him a piece of mail in an envelope during the days of anthrax and run the risk of that envelope never getting opened? It would go through the mailroom. It would probably end up in the junk pile. And there would be nothing that could get them to open the mail and save your life to come to your website.
Okay.
How about a phone call? Would you run the risk of trying to get through to Bill Gates? Probably you have to figure out what phone number to call because they have thousands. And then imagine the person on the other end and their reaction when you say, hi, may I speak to Bill Gates, please? Okay? I don't think you'd have a shot at getting through with the phone. Okay. So if email doesn't work, if a phone call doesn't work, if snail mail doesn't work, how about a postcard? What if you sent a postcard that said, help, my life is depending on you visiting this website and clicking this submit button. I don't care if you don't believe me. You've risked nothing by doing this. Even Mr. Gates, if your eyes aren't seeing this, then any of the assistants, the mailman, the person in the mail room, please come to this website and press this button so I can save my life and I can go back to my children and wife.
Okay?
Now, if you put that on a postcard, who's going to see that message? The post office is. So maybe the post office attendant will go online and save your life. The mailman who delivers it is. Maybe the mailman will go and save your life. His assistants, the people in the mailroom at Microsoft are going to see it. Maybe it'll be held so important because it's naked and it's not clothed in an envelope and it's in full color. Maybe it's a picture of you, held hostage on the postcard, and it really is causing alarm, and Mr. Gates actually gets online and press the submit key on the website. Whatever the case may be, you may have a mailman, the person in the mail room, Bill Gates' assistants, and Bill Gates himself, maybe 4, 5, 6 different people, to go online and actually take advantage of the power of that postcard that email couldn't do, that mail couldn't do, snail mail with envelopes, and that a phone call couldn't do. Do you see the sheer power of what a postcard has? Anything can be sold with a postcard. I have one gentleman who sold a newsletter with a postcard. He's a veteran marketer, and he had a targeted list. He sent out 5,000 pieces, and he did it for $1,000, not $4,000, which is the typical standard package, you know, with the direct mail piece, etc. And his offer was 3 free newsletter issues, and there were several valuable bonuses.
Right.
Now, the postcard was just mailed to people, and it was a 2-step mailing. Okay, they would respond, and they'd say, yeah, I want the 3 free issues. The 3 free issues would come in with a sales letter, and he had a fantastic conversion for the newsletter, which was $299.
Okay.
Now, here's what happened. After monetizing the postcards that he sent out, he figured that for every 21-cent postcard that was mailed, he got $4 back.
Right.
Now, that's a heck of a return on investment, right?
Very much so.
Okay. Now, if he sent a letter instead of a postcard, that envelope may have never gotten opened.
Okay.
So, we don't compete with people's curiosity. We just compete with their decision-making. Do I want it or don't I want it?
Right.
The only way they can make that decision is if they read the message, and they can't read the message if it's hidden inside an envelope. They can if it's right there on a postcard, and they decide within 7 seconds or less that, yes, I want this. I find that color really intrigues people, and I don't like to put anything on the billboard side, which is the picture side of the postcard. I don't like to put anything that is related to the topic. For example, if you're into financial planning and you're an information publisher for financial planning, I don't like to put a picture on the other side that has dollar bills on it.
Interesting.
Okay? Here's what I do. I'll put a picture of a penguin. And behind the penguin, there are maybe 25 pink flamingos.
Okay?
Okay? Now, when you get a postcard like this and you see this picture, it interrupts your pattern. You go, huh? And that stops you. That's the job of the picture. That's the job of the billboard, is to stop you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a headline that reads, ever feel like, or ever want a financial planner that stands out of the crowd?
Okay.
Or looking for a financial planner that stands out of the crowd?
Right.
Okay, here's a penguin in a completely different climate.
Okay.
In front of all these flamingos. Well, if you got that, Lewis, and you were looking for a financial planner, and you're in that mode of thinking, you would look at that, and it would interrupt you, and you say, huh, that's strange. And you would read that, and you say, you shrug your shoulders, and you'd wonder, I wonder what this is all about. And then you would do the magic of what that billboard was trying to get you to do, is turn the postcard over. You can put a headline on the front, or you don't have to have one, as long as the picture completely interrupts and confuses the person in stopping them and not throwing that piece away, turning it over. That's its only job, is to turn that billboard over.
Okay.
Okay? For example, if you're selling information products to other entrepreneurs, I use this a lot. I have a stealth bomber, you know, the stealth bomber?
Right.
And it says, want to beat your competitors while going undetected? Okay? So, if the answer is yes, and you have a stealth bomber, which has a mental image attached to it, right?
Yep.
Battle, which marketing is, it's a battle. Then you turn that over, and then your first 50 words are the most important.
Okay.
If you get them with the first 50, then they're going to continue to read. And you never try to get someone to buy your product from the postcard.
Right.
You just try to get them to the next step in the buying process, like visiting a website or calling a recorded message or perhaps calling you to set up a free consultation. I have a client in Los Angeles, California.
Right.
He's a coach. And what he does is he coaches industrial or commercial real estate brokers how to build their businesses.
Okay.
He's very expensive. He charges $3,000. So, $3,000 a month. Okay, so he wanted to do a postcard campaign. So what we did is we developed a 4-step campaign, one postcard every week with a different message. Now, this is an important point. We can, as an aside, your best friend right now was once a stranger. person, frequency of talking to that person. You know, of all the people that you know, about 20% of them you talk to more often. Of all the relatives you have, you probably talk to just a few of them, and that frequency gets you closer to them, correct?
Yeah.
Postcards allow for frequency, so one-time message isn't always the way to go.
Okay.
Because that doesn't model life. That doesn't mirror the way human beings are used to trusting each other.
Right.
So by having four messages, one per week, my client started to engender trust.
Okay?
So here's what's very interesting. Instead of figuring out how to sell them, what we did is we figured out how they buy. So instead of focusing on our sales process, we focused on their buying process.
Okay.
And I tell people, you need to be a prospect pleaser. Okay? Always be a prospect pleaser. You know how people are people pleasers?
Okay.
I tell people you'll never have to go into a psychotherapy session if you're a prospect pleaser. What I mean by that is please your prospects at all costs.
Okay.
Whatever it takes, please them. And it's not what and how you have to sell something that's important. It's what and how your prospects wish to buy that's important.
Right.
So this is what we did. Together, I analyzed his buying process. And many times we can't analyze our own prospects' buying processes because we're too close to it, you see?
Okay.
So I asked him a few questions. I said, Bill, do you have any clients right now? He says, of course I do, Alex. I said, great. How would you like to get them to talk to you? He says, I want them to go to my website, he said. I said, do any of them go to your website now? He said, no. I said, well, if you have no clients that have gone to your website and if you've acquired no clients through your website, why do you want them to go to your website? Well, because I want to create that system. I said, but that has never worked before, has it? He says, no. He says, well, I want to do it. I said, well, let's go with what works. Maybe they're not comfortable in real estate, commercial real estate coaching to go to a website to buy from you. Maybe it just doesn't work in this particular niche. So do you see what I did? I didn't want to create a new wheel. I wanted to work with the existing wheel that they had.
Right.
Okay? So what we did is we asked the question again, Jim, how do people come to you if they're a customer or a client? He says, they always call me. I said, fantastic. Now we found out the call to action. Please call. Okay?
Okay.
So we set up the office hours, and we put please call between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. These were all people that were going to be in Los Angeles since it's commercial real estate in the LA area. And so they're all in the same time zone. And it was a local call, of course, because they're all in LA. And that was the call to action. So that part was done.
Right.
All right. Now we have the problem of what are we going to say? You know, how do we entice them?
Yep.
So I asked Jim again. I said, Jim, after they call you, what happens with all your existing clients for them to become a client? He says, I sell them on the phone. I say, you sell them $3,000 worth of coaching a month on the phone on their first phone call? He said, yes, after we have lunch together. I said, wait a minute. You don't sell them on the phone. You have lunch with them, don't you? He says, that's correct. I said, have you had lunch with every client before they've signed? He says, absolutely. I even buy lunch. So guess what? We figure out the headline. The headline was, call and find out if you're eligible to get me to buy you lunch. That was it. I'm paraphrasing, but do you see the methodology?
Yeah.
Very, very simple. No tricks. It's not in our heads. It's actually coming from the prospects and the way they're used to behaving. And the postcard had nothing more than some full-color pictures of things that didn't make sense, like penguins and peacocks and stealth bombers and a chalkboard that had something written on it, like everything you know about marketing is wrong. And they turned those billboard sides over and they read the message of, call me and I may buy you lunch if you qualify to be part of my coaching team.
Okay.
That was it. No fancy manipulative sales tactics. And guess what? He mailed to 1,300 people,
okay,
four postcards, one per week,
okay,
one per week, and he picked up a dozen $3,000 clients.
Simple.
I don't need to tell you the return on investment. It's over $30,000 for less than, $3,000 investment. No. But when does it happen? When we find out the prospect's buying process. Remember, each message a week before is forgotten a few minutes after they're thrown away.
Right.
So to have a message every week on a continuity basis absolutely makes no sense.
Okay.
The only thing that changed, Lewis, is that he said that there are only 15 slots available for the next 90 days, and every postcard, the slots diminished in number. So the first postcard said 15 slots available, the next one said 9 slots, the third one said 6 slots, and the final one said 3 slots.
Oh, I see.
The reason I chose 4 is because the way printing is set up, 4 was cheaper than doing 3 or 2.
Okay.
And he didn't want to pay for 8 or 6.
Right.
Okay? So we chose 4 because we thought that after 4 weeks, if they didn't go for the offer, then we wouldn't go for it. Lewis, I've done 16 times, one per day.
Okay.
16. Now, I've done this, I don't know anyone else who does it, but I tried to get some of the advertising firms like Footcone and Belding and the major firms like J. Walter Thompson in the San Francisco Bay Area to hire me as their postcard marketing expert,
okay,
you know, as a outside source for any of their clients who want to do postcards.
Right.
So what I did, and there's really no group of marketing organizations that are more arrogant than advertising organizations. I'm sure you know that. And so there were about 25 major ones in San Francisco. I sent the CEO, the CFO, and the CMO, which is the chief marketing officer,
okay,
one postcard per day, and it was a countdown. On the first day, it's the 16th reason why they should do business with Heritage House Publishing.
Right.
The next day, it was reason number 15.
Okay.
After that, reason number 14, 13, 12, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, it was a countdown. And each postcard had a reason and a postcard marketing tip. So even if they didn't want to do business with me, I was giving them a tip that they could take to the bank with their own in-house services.
Okay.
Let me tell you something. Some people called me up and said, stop sending me postcards, we're not interested. And I thanked my personal God for that phone call because in 9 days, I figured out they're not a customer rather than protracting it out over 9 months of perspiration and headache and frustration.
Okay.
Right? I failed as fast as I could, and I did it in 9 days instead of 9 months.
Okay.
That was wonderful. Now, I got another species of call, and that was from someone who said, okay, you got us. You're persistent. If you work this way with our own clients, we're interested in talking to you. Let's talk business. And then I got a third type of call that said, hey, we accidentally threw away reason number 4. Can you send us another one just like that? So I thought it was a very, very effective method. Now, I don't recommend this to business to consumer because you'll probably scare them. They think you're a terrorist or something, you know. But business to business, if you want to really get their attention, they're going to throw away half the mail anyway, whether it's a postcard or an envelope.
Okay.
Might as well send it to them every day.
Right.
And you can create a message. For example, if you're in the business of doing printing and you have a new type of German digital printer in your facility that allows people to do very small runs at a very cheap price,
mm-hmm,
what I would do is I would send to all your customers that you have not a crossword puzzle, but a puzzle. And it would be an 8 postcard puzzle, which would be maybe, you know, 2x4 or something like that. And it would be a picture of the printing machine,
right,
the digital printer, right? And each day you would send a piece of that, and it would be putting together the piece of the puzzle. So this is, you know, piece one to the puzzle that's going to reduce your printing cost by over 50%. After the 8th day, they'll have a picture of what that solution is.
Okay.
And it's a very creative way to get new business. See, some people talk about the more you tell, the more you sell.
Yep.
That's a lie. I've never found that to be true. I've found that it's the more they read, the more they'll need.
Okay.
On a website, the longer they stay, the more they'll pay.
Right.
But it's not the more you tell, the more you sell, because if you're giving them information that they don't find worthwhile, they'll stop reading after the first 50 words.
Okay.
But if you you find that you're giving them worthwhile information, they'll read the first 50 and the first 1,000 and the first 2,000. The point of a postcard is to capture attention instantly and not give the complete message. It's to give them a hint or a curiosity piece to go to the next step along their buying process.
Okay.
Well, my postcards usually never have more than 250 words. The majority have less than 100 words. I don't really think the design is as important as the copy. There are plenty of pictures that will elicit curiosity to get them to turn that card over, so you don't have to spend an arm and a leg with design. If you're focusing on design, you're focusing on the wrong thing. Focus on the prospect and what message is going to get them to call you, to go to your website, or to listen to a recorded message, and you'll find that design has a lot less to do with that response. Really, there are several elements that are important in a postcard. The first element is how much white space am I going to have?
Okay.
And that's where you want to leaving out is more important than putting in. So, you know, white space is extremely important.
Okay.
The second thing is, what's your headline going to be? Is it going to be a question headline? Is it going to be an offer headline, an invitation headline to come into a retail store? You know, bring this in and you'll save 20% on everything in the store for 2 hours on this day. That's called a special invitation postcard. I mean, we do that a lot. Is it going to be a play on words? You know, we've got, best play on words I did was with a frozen yogurt shop, which was have an ice day.
Okay.
Okay, ICE day, right, instead of have a nice day. Those are cute, but they don't usually get a response. A testimonial headline works great. The headline is very, very important. We know that because if they don't read the headline, then of course they're not going to keep reading. So you got to know what the headline is going to be.
Right.
So the white space, the headline, believe it or not, the return address is one of the first places people look. They want to see if they recognize you.
Right.
If you put your phone number on your return address area, we found that just putting the phone number in makes a big difference in people responding because they know that you're not trying to hide.
Right, I see.
So if you have a phone number for them to call to buy the product and then a home number for your home office, we found that in the return address area, if you put the phone number, it's a big, big plus.
Okay.
It's also a big plus these days in a post office that's quarantined because of an anthrax scare, because they can call you and they can say, I'm sorry, your postcards are in quarantine, and at least you know what's going on.
Right, I see.
It has happened before.
Okay.
The way I sold my book initially was to contact the people I know within the information publishing community, some of the big names, and just inform them that this book is available.
Okay.
Well, guess what? No one bought it. Oh, that's nice, Alex. But I don't really sure I want to spend $247. And I don't blame them. You know, most of them are millionaires, but why do they want to read a 204-page book? Okay? So my contacts in the business has not helped the sales. I put up a site that had a very good name, marketingwithpostcards.com.
Yeah.
And every client, every solicitation, every article, every speech, every direct mail letter or postcard, every ad I've ever written ever since that time has had www.marketingwithpostcards.com. My signature, you know, going out with email,
yep,
has the address. Now, I don't sell the course when I'm sending something. This is a very important point.
Okay.
What I do is I sell the download for 3 free chapters.
Right.
That's it. So if you were to get an email from me at the very bottom, it would say, Lewis, want to repeatedly win the hearts of more cash-paying customers, even if you're on a shoestring budget?
Right.
To find out how, please download 3 free chapters of Alex Mondosian's new crash course at http://www.marketingwithpostcards.com.
Okay.
All right. And so my offer is 3 free chapters.
Right.
And I get about, and this is embarrassing to admit, but I get less than 100 unique visitors a day.
Okay.
All right? I sell about 3 courses a day.
Right.
Okay? Now, that's close to $1,000 a day.
Okay.
After 90 days, when they go through my sales process and my consulting, I'm not that expensive consultant as far as the gurus go, but I'm not cheap. I charge $250 an hour American,
okay?
And, I mean, you know because you've hired me before.
Right.
And after they purchase my book, after they've gotten all the free bonuses, I do give them some consulting time, I find that they start referring my book to other people by saying, get 3 chapters of Alex Mondosian's course. It's a great book. And so it's like a germ, it's like a virus, and it just keeps germinating. And after 90 days, each book I've monetized as over $1,000 because that person has spent at least 4 or 5 hours of consulting time with me, or perhaps they've used me for one of their campaigns. Some people don't even buy the book and just hire me outright to coach them.
I see.
For every book I sell at this moment in January of 2002, after 90 days, it's worth $1,020.
Well.
Okay, just do the math. I sell 3 books a day.
Okay.
So it's a very profitable business. It's not the only business I do. And from the seed of putting this thing online in April, it has been a 5-figure cash profit website getting less than 100 visitors a day.
Well.
I think I'm going to do a course, a 2-day teleclass, on how to make a 5-figure cash profit income every month for the rest of your life with a website that only gets 100 unique visitors a day. I think a lot of people would be interested in that because everyone's always talking about traffic. I like to focus on qualified traffic.
Yeah.
And 3 out of 10 people who land on my site get the 3 chapters. I have about a 30% opt-in rate because people are looking for postcard marketing. For example, if you went to yahoo.com, and you wrote postcard in one word, space, marketing.
Right.
My site would pop up first.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
If you went to Yahoo and you did direct mail,
okay.
I'm one of the sponsored sites, and you'd see that you can click to me.
Right.
There are very few people searching for postcard marketing.
Okay.
Very few. But those who are want it, and they want it now.
Right.
So if I give them 3 chapters, and they're so intoxicating, and they're so good, which they are. They're extremely media. As you know, I give you plenty of examples. Just those free chapters can put you on the road to profits using postcard marketing without the book, which ultimately I want.
Yeah.
Okay? But if you feel like you're missing out and you want the whole course and you want to have my mentoring in the process, you know, a free hour of mentoring and a $150 free gift certificate with a printing company I work with, et cetera, with all the bonuses and the spreadsheets and the templates, well, it'll take you back close to $250 that is guaranteed for life.
Okay.
When you receive it, if you don't like the color of it, you can return it and I'll write you a check.
Right.
Now, this is a very important point, and it has less to do with postcard marketing as it does with just plain old marketing.
Okay.
People often ask me, Lewis, what is the guarantee that I should offer? How long should it be? And I tell them, well, you answer the question. Let me ask you this question. If you just acquired a customer and you were almost like God and you knew in the recesses of their minds they were going to return the product no matter what, right?
Okay.
No matter what, no matter how good your course was, they're going to return it. If you have this type of customer and you have a 30-day guarantee versus a 90-day unconditional money-back guarantee, which guarantee puts more pressure on that customer to return that product sooner, the 30-day or the 90-day? The 30-day, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you knew that you have the same customer, they're going to return the product anyway, what puts more pressure on them to return it and for you to refund them if you had a 90-day guarantee or a 1-year guarantee? Okay, and what would put more pressure between a 1-year and a lifetime? Okay, so is there any question whatsoever in your mind that the only guarantee worth a damn is the lifetime guarantee, even if you knew beforehand that the customer was going to return it?
Okay.
There's no reason not to have a lifetime guarantee. And if you want another reason, here it is. If you want a customer for 30 days, then offer them a 30-day guarantee.
Okay.
Because you're only guaranteeing your work for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a customer for 90 days, then guarantee it for 90 days.
Okay.
If you want to have a customer trust you for life, then why not guarantee that product for life?
Right.
Because if they return the product, they're no longer a customer.
Of course.
So they're telling you, don't send me mail and don't waste your time on me anymore.
Okay.
And you didn't lose any money in the process. You just had to return money back. And they're probably saving you hundreds of dollars in the future.
Right.
Because they're never going to respond to you. So when it comes to guarantees, a lifetime guarantee is the only guarantee worthwhile. I did what all great marketers do, and I don't think I'm a great marketer. I think I'm a pretty good marketer.
Okay.
I asked.
Right.
I asked people, if there were a course on postcard marketing, if it was a definitive course with full-color pictures, and if it had templates on a CD-ROM that you could use from your own home so you can send postcards from your own computer, would that be of interest to you? A lot of people said yes.
Right.
And then I asked them the magic question, why would that be important to you? And guess what? I got hundreds of benefits.
Okay.
I got 100 reasons why, okay?
From your customers.
Yes.
Oh.
And guess, if you go to my webpage, marketingwithpostcards.com, you will see every one of those benefits in bullets down the page.
Okay.
I asked another question. Why wouldn't you buy it? They gave me a list of reasons.
Okay.
Those reasons are also on my webpage.
Right.
If you never intend on using postcards, do not buy this course.
Okay.
If you never intend on building website traffic through direct mail, do not buy this course.
Right.
If you never intend to send a color postcard by mail, this course is not for you.
Okay.
But if you want the fastest, easiest, most economical way to dramatically increase your sales and profits without spending an extra dime on advertising, then marketing postcards belongs in your library.
Right.
And if you don't think it does, 5 years from now, you call me back and I'll write you a check.
Okay.
Is that fair?
It's a good deal. Buy new one, send it.
I think the burden of risk is on my shoulders where it should be, not on yours.
Exactly.
My assistant, Sabrina Price, has written a nice little autoresponder sequence.
Okay.
And, you know, a lot of people say you can't send autoresponders every single day.
Right.
That's absolutely false. I send one every single day, 26 days in a row.
Right.
And a lot of people continue. I mean, if they don't opt out by the fifth day, 80% of the people stay on that sequence.
Okay.
And all I'm trying to do with that sequence is get them to read the chapters. There are tips in there, and I say, I give them a little 30-word spiel.
Right.
You know, on the autoresponder sequence. And I'm going to go to my autoresponder sequence now, and I'm going to read to you what some of the things I have so I can bring value to your listeners and readers. So, for example, the first message is, you know, all the information if they downloaded the information correctly, right?
Right.
Okay, then postcard tip number 21. Here it is. Hi, Lewis. Want to discover the fastest, easiest, and most economical way postcards help you grab the undivided attention of your shyest prospects and customers? Take 50 seconds and read the first four paragraphs of page 8 from your Market with Postcards 3 free chapter download. Good sales, Sabrina Price, www.marketingwithpostcards.com. Okay, that's it. Next tip, want to discover how to survive and even thrive during any economic slump, downswing, or recession? It's easier than you think, ... Take just 40 seconds and read the first three paragraphs on page 9 from your Market with Postcards 3 free chapter download.
Okay.
See, so often we download information and we don't read it. I try to get people to consume the chapters.
Right.
I will tell you, I've been writing order forms in direct mail for about 13 years. The one person, and he's now a close friend of mine, who changed the way I look at order forms is a gentleman by the name of Mark Joyner.
Okay.
And Mark Joyner, of course, is CEO of Aesop.com. Which is a famous search engine, and of course, he also has ROIBot.com.
Yeah.
I've worked on joint promotions with him. He is a marketing genius, and what he taught me was that there's no reason why we can't do an order form online like we can do an order form in direct. know how to do that. There are formulas I've used for years, and he has formulas as well. When you go to my order form, you'll see a very simple restatement of the headline, a restatement of the discount they're getting for doing business online,
okay,
all the free bonuses, a statement about the security under which this thing is being enacted. You know, we have the highest encryption security,
okay,
the 100% money-back guarantee, and interestingly enough, Mark Joyner has a testimonial at the very end stating that I helped him make money fast, and I put several thousand dollars into his bank account just a few days after meeting him for the first time.
Okay.
So that is my order form, and all they have to do is click order now if they go to my webpage, and they can see that order form.
Right.
And order forms really are the last impression you make on somebody. And if the first impression was good, why waste it with the last impression by just having a billing information?
Right.
So I have the restatement of benefits right before the billing information, so I entice them and confirm in their minds that this is a good investment.
Okay.
And it's called the recency effect. The primacy effect is the first impression. The recency effect is the last impression. And they say you never get a second chance to make a good first impression. I don't think you get a second chance. I don't think you even get a chance to make a good last impression. You either made it or you didn't.
Okay.
So order forms are extremely important and overlooked by many internet marketing gurus.
Right.
And Mark does an exceptionally well job. I think I do a pretty good job, and there's several other people on the net who do good jobs with their order forms. The Marketing with Postcard product is a front-end product.
Okay.
My back-end is my consulting services,
okay,
my design services,
right,
and my postcard printing services,
okay,
and my copywriting services.
Right.
So what happens is after you purchase my book, you get 5 postcards, one per week.
Okay.
And they're all designed to get you to consume my book.
Right.
They all lead back to the book.
Okay.
And on the billboard side where the picture is, there's a case study. On the back side, there's a tip on how to use the book.
Right.
And people embrace this, and they call me back and they hire me, and they know that I'm the guy, at least in their minds, to help them with postcards. So not everyone does it. Some people are only going to be a $247 customer.
Right.
But other people end up becoming $5,000 customers.
I see.
I had a gentleman in Florida call me up and ask me, what do I charge if he flies me over and hires me for a day? Well, I'll be honest with you, no one's ever done that before.
Right.
I mean, no one's ever flown me. I've been hired for a day, but they've never flown me from one part of the country to another.
Okay.
So I'm trying not to let it get to my head. And I gave him a quote, and he thought it was fair, and he's going to do that now. So it's amazing how an innocent marketing area like postcard marketing can really carve out a huge niche in people's minds when you show them that you know what you're talking about. The first thing is you need to talk about something that you're passionate about and that you know something about.
Okay.
It has to be something that you know. I know, Lewis, that you and I talked about the transcription business for some time.
Translation.
The translation business.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, and the translation business also is related to the transcription business, too.
It's true, yeah.
Okay, and so if you find out that you're just passionate about translation, but none of the translation prospects that you're talking to are interested, then I think you could do just as good a job for the transcription business, too.
Okay.
In one language, right?
Yeah.
So you could go to information publishers and say, look, I'll be your transcriber. And everyone wants transcriptions because taking a transcription from this call right now is going to give a lot of meaty, content-rich information to anyone reading it on the transcription.
Yeah.
So if you're passionate about translation in business and you find that your lead sources are dry, then how does that relate to something else? Maybe transcription is something else that you're passionate about, and there's a market for that. So the first thing I would focus on is something that you know about and something that you're passionate, because that is going to light the fire when you don't want to wake up in the morning. The second thing is to find experts in the field so you can do research.
Okay.
And when I say expert, I mean experts, because if you copy from one person, it's plagiarism, of course. If you copy from many, it's called research, right?
Okay.
And you find a few experts and just hire them for an hour. Pay them.
Right.
$50 an hour, sir, and I want to pick your brain. Is that okay?
Yes.
They will say yes. This is how I've met many powerful men and women all around the world. At $250 to $500 an hour, I've called them up, and I've had my questions, and they've answered them for me. And guess what? Many of them are JV partners because I paid them, and they knew I was serious.
Okay.
Versus calling them up and saying, can I pick your brain for free? Just put yourself in their position. They'd rather get paid.
Of course.
So you find a mentor and pay that mentor for an hour of his or her time.
Right.
And continue to do so. That's step number two. Step number three is really get to know your target market. After you're passionate about something and after you find a mentor, chances are you're going to find a target market that's right for you. Start asking them questions. Remember the question I asked? If there were a definitive book on postcard marketing, would you get it? A lot of people said yes. Then I asked why, and after they gave me all their answers, I wrote those down as benefits.
Okay?
So ask your target market. They could be family, friends, or strangers. Ask them why they think it's important to do business with you if they're interested.
Right.
And then that is your benefits list. And then ask them another important question. Why wouldn't they do business with you?
Okay.
And that is your list of barriers. You need to know your barriers to move away from and your benefits to move towards
right.
to get them to buy.
Okay.
And so if you take those steps, and then the final step is just write and communicate with one person at a time in your mind the message that you want to communicate. And just write it down without even thinking about it. Before you create the product, create the ad.
Okay.
And if that ad is compelling and you show it to enough people who are honest with you and say, it's not going to work, or, it's going to work, if you get enough, yes, it's going to work, then you have enough evidence to put perspiration and capital into a product and generate that information product. Now, many people do it exactly the opposite way. They create the information product, they're so proud of it, then they think they know what the benefits are and the barriers are, they write it. They show it to people, it doesn't work, they're off the mark, they find their mentors after they've lost thousands of dollars instead of first, so they can't afford a $300 fee, right? And they're not even passionate about the subject. They did it because they wanted to make money.
Okay.
Those are exactly the wrong reasons that will make you money.
Right.
So I found that whatever you think to do with an information product, if you flip it and start with the subject matter, then go to the mentor, then go to the prospect and the target market, and then start writing the ad before you even create the product. If you do it in that order, then and only then can you create the information product, because it may take on a whole new form than you had in your mind originally. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah.
The final thing I'd like to say is instead of focusing on your selling process and developing a selling process, turn it around and focus on your customer's buying process. Freeman Gosden, who's the father of the frequent flyer programs, he said something in a lecture in 1989 that I will never forget as long as I live, and it stuck with me all along. He was the president of direct marketing division of Footcone and Belding, which is one of the largest advertising firms in the world, which Albert Lasker, the great advertising guru of the early 1900s, started. And what this gentleman said, Freeman Gosden, he said, listen, people, if I can tell you one thing, remember that it's not what and how you sell something that's important. It's what and how your customer wishes to buy that's important. Just like the case study we covered with Jim, my client who's a real estate coach for commercial real estate agents. He focused, after I assisted him, on the buying process. So if you focus on the buying process instead of your sales process, which is a bunch of guesswork, it'll be difficult for you to fail. If you go to my site, the reason I give 3 free chapters is because I observed when you go into a bookstore, if people want to buy a book, they take out the book, they see that on the spine of the book, it enticed them, whatever it said. Let's say, how to win friends and influence people. That's an enticing headline, right? So they take that book off the shelf. They read the table of contents. They read a few sentences from certain chapters. And then they decide at that moment the book, or am I going to put it back on the shelf? That's the buying process.
Okay.
Well, Lewis, that's exactly why I have 3 free chapters available on my website, because I know before someone is going to hand me $250 in U.S. dollars,
yep,
they have to first take a test drive. And their buying process for a book is to read a few chapters. Well, I give them way more than they need.
Okay.
And that espouses sales. That gets me business because I know the buying process. I could have said, buy this book or go jump in a lake. That would be my sales process. Okay, that would make it difficult for me to eat and feed my family if I were to go with that sales process. So instead, I observed the way people bought books, and I implanted that buying process into my website. So that's my last bit of marketing advice to anyone listening or reading this, is focus on your customer's buying process. Don't focus on your sales process.